Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Though it may well be to deliver the introduction to Resonance Rewind in Unwinese, it's not going to happen. But it is a suitable case for the Bishop, specifically British Intelligence, Secret Headquarters, Operation Priest.
From what you say, Saunders, there's no doubt that the new KX-20 mini computer was stolen by Dreisenberg agents.
That's right, and furthermore, we know that the computer is in the Dreisenberg embassy at this very moment.
And I suppose they'll use diplomatic immunity to get it out of the country.
That would seem to be their plan. Their ambassador is flying out of the country tomorrow. No doubt his luggage will include the mini computer, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it.
Now look here, Saunders, as you know perfectly well, Healy Automation have export orders in excess of £500 million over the next 10 years. You can't just sit there and say there's nothing we can do.
I repeat, there's nothing we can do about it, but there is someone in our organization who certainly can. This is an assignment for the Bishop.
This is British Intelligence Service Headquarters, Operation Priest.
We have a very important assignment for you, Bishop.
One moment. Right, Scrambler in operation.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do Yes, the whole thing is very clear to me. I understand perfectly. Your wishes will be carried out.
I cannot overemphasize the importance of this assignment.
And whatever happens, interception must not take place at London Airport.
Ah, Matthew, you seem to be doing a splendid job.
Thank you, sir.
Matthew, we've got work to do. I've just had a message from the Bishop.
The guard's condition is still critical, Mr. Ambassador. But there are no other details in the report.
Hardly surprising. You don't advertise security lapses.
Yes, sir. Your plan worked perfectly. This time tomorrow, we shall be flying home.
With the mini-computer. And those British fools can do nothing about it.
You know, Father, there's a lot of people would like to get their hands on this equipment.
Indeed they would, Matthew. Incidentally, you can drop the accent. We're quite alone. Are you ready?
Quite ready, Father.
Those fiendish Eastern European nations called Dreisenberg. What are they going to do with the whole system? Pamela Suman, welcome back to Resonance Rewind. Good to connect with your good self in the joys of New York. What did you make of this little Gerry Anderson number?
Yeah, it's so good to be back. Thank you. Really adorable. Really, really adorable. And I was really just getting a kick out of how they interspersed the human element. And the what is it called?
Super Marionation
as well. And they just went back and forth. I could be very incorrect here, but I don't think I'd seen that before. Am I wrong?
Yes, it was used sparingly in shows like Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, when they needed to actually have fine-tuning things and show the hands. But this was the first time they kind of used it so explicitly, with obviously Stanley Unwin in the lead character as the as Father Stanley Unwin as well, basically, and his minimizer, of course.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely adorable. And I must highlight, which I will come back to, the music.
A complete change for Barry Gray's particular lines from that point of view. Okay, we are delighted to welcome a newbie to Resonance Rewind today. She's already been a fixture on the Midweek Drive. She's also been on Cultural Connections. She's from Bucharest, Romania, Pamela. And of course, it's Anna Koskinol. How are you, Anna?
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Excellent.
I'm good.
This presumably was the first time you've ever seen an episode like this. What are your thoughts?
Yes, it's my first time. Actually, I didn't know how it's going to be, and that is going to be with puppetry and marionettes. I thought it's going to be like a regular movie. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And seeing that combined with real places from real world around the city, I think that was quite interesting. And I did find it quite captivating, I think. They follow the line quite good, and 20 minutes, 25 minutes along of it, it's quite a catching story, and you don't really have time not to pay attention to it, to be quite honest. So that was good for me, at least.
It's thumbs up so far, which is interesting, given that this was many people regard the weakest of all Gerry Anderson series. Jared Palmer, had you ever encountered the Secret Service before, or was this a case of what have you made me watch today?
This was my first time I'd encountered it, actually, because I think for Gerry Anderson, I tend to stick mostly to Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, and of course, Space 1999. For this one, it's not terrible, but I do agree that it does, I think it's the weakest so far as the one I've seen, because I felt like a lot of the plot was quite basic, and at the beginning, I think with what Anna was saying, I thought it was going to be live action, and then the next minute it's puppets again, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? So I was a little bit confused with that, but I did see when they were doing the episodes, especially the chase, that I think they mixed a bit of live action and puppeteering in that, which I think it worked for its time, but I think now you can clearly tell which one is which. But I think maybe if they had a bit longer and have just established the characters a bit more, I think I would have liked it a bit more. I just felt that was just underdeveloped a lot from what I was watching.
I mean, obviously, it's 25 minutes. One of the things that Lou Grade went ballistic over was the use of Unwinese, which is the confusing language that Stanley Unwin had effectively copyrighted and would use to bamboozle everybody from police constables onwards, really, from that point of view. Pamela, I mean, I feel this is very much in the role of the G.K. Chesterton Father Brown stories. You know, you have a lead character who's not a Lothario, obviously. He's working very much for British intelligence, secret headquarters, Operation Priest. And of course, he has a long-suffering housekeeper who basically believes that Matthew is nothing less than a waste of space.
Yes, exactly. Let's, as the Americans say, unpack this. Because he was a man of the cloth, but he had absolutely no trouble with the art of deception. He was actually quite good at the art of deception. He rather enjoyed it, I think. And that was like a, so it was a little naughty in that respect. But honestly, I think maybe it's just because of the way I've set up my computer on a table now, like in a very kind of dignified sort of kind of grown up way. So if I watch something, I'm actually kind of held captive behind this table and I have to watch it, but it kept my attention. And I don't know if that's my new ergonomic situation or if that's just the fact that there was something about it that was adorable. And I actually, my attention wanders very, very, very easily, and it did not. And I think what you were saying, and it was basically like being so short and there's a lot of switches, a lot of edits. So it didn't really have enough time. It wasn't lengthy enough to maybe lose your attention. And for me, again, like I said, like all those like those groovy little voices. And I think it was the Mike Summers singers.
Mike Sam singers.
Oh, you're right about that. I wrote it down. Wrong. And they're just so charming and fun and so of the time. Like I wanted to go back to 1969 and just be in the room in the meetings when they were deciding what they were going to do. And it was just so groovy, right?
Even though obviously it was the last Super Mario Nation series that Gerry Anderson would do for quite some time, because shortly after this he was doing UFO. We even had obviously the nod in the direction of John Pertwee's Doctor Who, of course, with the yellow Model T Ford, of course, which makes a regular appearance. And it was nice to see that Stanley Unwin obviously was very concerned when he's actually exiting from a driveway. He looked both ways. You know, I think that was very good for highway sensibility from that point of view. Very important. Let's talk to Jared, who's actually sort of got the Bessie kind of line from that point of view. Of course, we also see this car emerging in an episode of UFO as well. So, I mean, how did you feel? Because the only real gadget that we've got here is actually something that's been invented by the late Professor Humboldt. It actually seems to be the aspect of the technology that was left presumably in a will as a legacy to Father Unwin. And I wasn't really sure at the end where basically he was going to actually reveal all to his congregation, but I think he doesn't, as we'll see on that basis. And I'm still not sure what his favourite hymn was, basically, because we cut to the end credits there. But Jared, again, in terms of the mise-en-scene of this piece, any thoughts you'd like to add?
Well, I was actually surprised to see Bessie or the Roadster in it, because I'm used to seeing it in Doctor Who. But I understand a lot of Doctor Who's gimmicks and stuff, such as the sonic screwdriver they actually got from Anderson's. So I would say I really did like the set. So I thought for the marionettes, in terms of like the settings and stuff, they are always very well done. And I can't fault Anderson on that. And I really did like how they perfectly recapture it. At certain times, I think in the chase scene, you could tell it was live action, because I think it would have been hard for them to do it in probably a car chase scene. But I didn't think that was too distracting for me. But I definitely did like how they sort of like kept it ambiguous about what was going on, because I originally saw Matthew going into the suitcase. I'm thinking, hey, why is he going into this large suitcase? And I was like, how's he going to like get onto the plane? I don't know if they'll be able to carry that suitcase onto the plane on that size. And then I was like, oh, hang on a minute, he's got a shrink ray. So I think it was an interesting gimmick, but I think they introduced it a little bit late in the episode for me.
Mm-hmm. Just a little okay. bit. Let's turn to Anna, because again, I suspect some of the references that we've been making might possibly be over the head. Or did you get Doctor Who in Romania?
Yes.
Fair enough then. Excellent.
I'm going to start with the positive thing on my side is that even though the show is like from the late 60s, what I can say is that it's still easy to watch and comprehend even in 2023, because now the attention span has been limited so much after so many videos on TikTok that are at 1 minute long. You can't pay attention more than a few minutes. I feel like that. And I felt that on my own skin after being so much on TikTok. So I'm going to start with that it's good and it's easy to follow even now. And that's what I said in the beginning. And what I can say is that it has the British humor that I think everyone is used with. I read that it has like 13 episodes altogether. So I think it was kind of a good start to make you watch the whole series, because it keeps you a bit on the edge. So you're going to wonder what's going to happen in the next episode. So I think that's good. And I think for me, at least, the most interesting part of these whole 25 minutes were like the chase. And I don't know, that's what I liked most. And the idea of espionage and the whole Bishop thing, that I think it's kind of a recurring theme. If I'm not wrong, I may be wrong. It's kind of recurring theme in the British in British series. So, yeah, that's...
We're also seeing a very clear form of Britishness here, a very received pronunciation, very positive, very laid back. I mean, long before we'd actually get the Secret Service of other sort of areas, or indeed even arguably the Bond, you're getting here a notion of where public school educated people are very much involved with this, the church, the state, the kind of dominant ideologies are very much the fore here. And of course, it's those devious foreigners who are kind of stealing our scenario. I mean, we start off with a fairly dramatic introduction, those opening minutes, where effectively there's the break-in, there's the burglary, there's the we don't know what happens to the actual man, whether he was sort of left in a kind of half-dead situation or whether it kind of progressed from months. And then, yeah, it does actually take a turn, which is very pleasant. I mean, it's not hyper... packed with explosions. We will see some explosions actually in the second episode, which we'll be looking at next week. But Pamela, I mean, you were looking obviously recently at the two-parter Old Man Out for Mission Impossible, which was obviously the American take on Spy-Fi at the time. Lots more dynamism, lots more adventure, as you said. Cinnamon Carter was your key positive thing there. How did you, as an Anglophile in New York, do you think that this had something which, I mean, still kind of has a charm, which we think, yeah, I mean, it's a pity the series was cancelled as early as it was.
You outed me. You totally outed me, Anglophile. Yeah, well, you know what? I want to ask you guys a question, because this just tells a lot about like what kind of viewers we are, right? So when we're watching this thing and he gets, you know, Matthew is shrunk down.
Miniaturized.
Did you all, yes, thank you. Did you all believe it? I mean, I believed it. I believed it. And then even so much in the car where I was like, oh, how could he keep from being seen? Oh, he could just hide, you know, behind his you know, if he has a shirt, a little bit of his shirt loose or something, he could just like tuck behind there and hide. And, you know, I was really thinking that he had this miniature gun. Would that do any damage? Could it actually shoot far enough? So I was actually believing that this was happening. And I don't know, maybe my, maybe as I become more as Alex would say, as I become more chronologically gifted, I also become like my sense of like suspended disbelief just grows. But I want to hear from you guys. Like, did you believe that? I mean, I did. He shrunk down, and I'm like, okay, that's great. He's so cute. What did you guys think,
Anna?
I think on my side, I did believe it, and I did want to believe it. But I think these things are also related to the creativity of the viewer. And how creative Aww. The viewer is, and what, yeah, and how they see the world. So, yeah.
And Jared, obviously, a few weeks ago, we were looking at the Mechanical Man episode of Land of the Giants, where there were all sorts of little people in that particular aspect. What are your thoughts on this one? Did you also believe, not just, of course, Matthew, but also the ambassador was shrunk? And had he not actually sort of desperately been wanting to actually regain his normal size, he wouldn't have been pushing the computer out of the plane with great efforts, ignoring any kind of gulag archipelago he might be sent to when he returned behind the Iron Curtain.
Well, I think I did believe it when I first saw it, but I think I was a little bit confused when Matthew did get in the suitcase. I was like, hey, what was this big suitcase going to carry onto an airplane? It's going to take like 10 men to carry that. But I did find the effects when they shrunk the ambassador down pretty funny. And then, like, he just out of nowhere, like when the men are just like confused on the airplane, like the exit, and then like he's just already gone and got the suitcase, he's just pushing it out. And it's like, oh, there goes the bait. There you go. So I did find that funny. But I think nowadays, shrinking people, I think, well, it's a shrinking, minimizing people, and like having the ability to change one's sizes, I think we've seen a lot more of that. And especially since Ant-Man has become a lot more popular now, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids has become a lot more popular, which I believe there's a remake coming out there. Probably on Disney Plus.
So there wasn't a lot of shrinking going on when they did it. Were they the first ones to do it?
I think so.
Well, you could argue that Tom Thumb would have been the first person who actually dealt with small people in that sort of aspect. But so there is a history here. I've got to say, I slightly disagree with Jared in terms of the suitcase. I mean, truly, that's the ideal way of actually carrying your luggage and a human being through customs. I mean, you know, just imagine how little you'd have to pay in terms of, obviously, you're just tucked in there. It's a nice chair that you've actually got. You've obviously got a periscope that you can actually use to actually investigate what's going around. I think it's almost a case, as long as you've got a good driver, and obviously not a driver who's likely to actually crash into a tractor, etc. You know, all's well with the world.
I suppose, you know, I could never last that long. I'd need a bathroom in that suitcase too.
there might be one, of course, Pamela. We don't know. I don't think we've ever seen the full technological specs of the whole thing. So we'd have to explore that. Pamela, you mentioned the music and the Mike Sam singers. I mean, again, most people, if they think about Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, the Gerry Anderson oeuvre, Barry Gray, Space 1999, they think of a very driving beat, a very synth-based scenario. This was something which was clearly a cappella. It was clearly designed to actually be a complete sea change from where we actually were. And the actual very base of Father Unwin's place, it's an idyllic English village. I mean, the likes of which many people actually say that is their view of England. Rural, no major sort of issues with respect to that. God-fearing, God-worshipping country, full attendance at church on Sunday. You know, no problems.
You know, I don't know if there was any marijuana smoking going on at that time, but the music was definitely evocative of, not that I would know at all, but I mean, it just seems like the music was so juxtaposed to, I don't know, it was kind of like you could pick out of a hat what kind of music you wanted to have. It wasn't necessarily supporting the drama or anything. It wasn't akin to it. But I have to say also, as a sort of anarchist myself, I feel like the problem that I have with a lot of newer cinema, is that they feel the need to be bombastic and absolutely support the tone and the mood and the emotional, vibe of the action or what's going on. They feel like the picture and the dialogue hasn't taken you there enough, so they need to beat you over the head with music in order to support that. This was totally anti. This was just like, dude, I almost pictured the Muppets to come up and do a manamana, you know? I mean, and it was just awesome. Like, I loved that. That was, there needs to be more of that in film and TV today and these days. I think so.
It's a happy series, I think you'd probably say. A happy series, even though they're dealing with espionage, industrial theft, and possibly being shot in all sorts of ways. I felt sorry for the police officer who basically turns up and immediately has his car removed and abducted by Eastern European ambassadors, basically. So, that's not a good look in any way, shape, or form. I mean, Anna probably wouldn't have been let in the country if they were still actually adopting those kind of things. Anyway, Anna, you've shared with us your favourite moment. Are you still sticking with the car chase as the moment that you thought, yeah, this is what I liked?
Oh, it's hard to tell. I think out of the whole movie, I can say, out of everything. I think for me, as I said in the beginning, the biggest surprise was that it wasn't live action. So I think that's when they got me interested in it. So probably that's why it's what I mentioned first. But I don't know. Yeah, the beginning was everything, you know.
Yeah.
When you start watching a new series, basically the first episode sets the tone if you're going to watch it or if you're going to just leave it there. Because there are a lot of series that maybe they are good in the long run, but the first episode or the first two, three episodes are boring. And you just don't have the nerve to go through them to actually go to the good part. So in this case, I think the first episode altogether it did catch my eye. So at least with the fact that it's the first time I'm watching something that it's not live action, but it's with puppets. Because to be quite honest, we didn't have this in Romania, at least on the TV. So yeah, I'm just gonna stick with that and stick with the fact that it was for me something new and a new experience, and especially with the fact that as Pamela earlier said, that it's quite a contradiction in what the action is and how the music is and the whole atmosphere of that it's presented. So it's good to look at something that gives you a good vibe altogether, even if the action at times it can be quite not as easy to grasp it. But it's something for Friday night, let's say, like,
well,
this, let's call it like this.
It's a whole new era, of course, where you can get a vicar or a priest actually go into an aircraft, instantly change into a white outfit to actually be part of the aircraft security. I suspect post 9/11, that would never even begin to be the situation.
Being bored on 11 September 2001.
Yeah, it's very true. So, Pamela, your favorite moments?
Moments. Ah, okay. So, well, I'm thinking of two. The first one I thought of was Matthew walks in the room and he's like, there's no need to keep the pretense
you
of
can
your
drop accent. The accent now, Matthew. All right, Father, I'll stop the accent. I won't do
First
this
of
West
all,
Country thing.
When he had the accent, he was out in the garden. And
yeah,
as far as I was concerned, there was no one out there. I mean, the cows weren't going to provide any cows.
You don't know Mrs. Appleby. She could have been actually observing him from a distance.
I see. That's right. She did definitely seem to know what was going on. It's true. But the other one was just the hands. The first moment I saw the human hands, and Jerry was still here. He was about to go to the studio, but he hadn't left yet. I said, Jerry, come here. I'm confused. I was like, is this puppets or is this real people? I can't tell. And I was like, look through the window. That's a miniature set. And there's a little puppet through the window. And he's like, no, that's not. That's a person. And then they're you know, he sort of demystified it for me. But I was like, no, they're doing it all in miniature. But then there's a human hand, huge, with a book. And I was really confused.
Look out!
Keep them at bay a little longer, Matthew. We're nearly home.
Two eggs, 3 minute boil. Is that right, sir?
As always, Mrs. Appleby, you're exactly right.
I wish you thought I was right about Matthew. You know he had another day off yesterday.
I'm sure there was a very good reason for it, Mrs. Appleby.
Trouble with you is, Father, you can't see bad in no one. And did you get your inspiration for the sermon this morning?
Indeed I did, Mrs. Appleby. Indeed I did. Today, my dear brethren, I would like to show you a book which belonged to the late Professor Humbert, a dear friend and member of this congregation. Just one book, containing his life's work. But every time I open it, I find its contents help me to fulfill what I consider to be my life's work, trying in my own small way to bring the maximum good to mankind that I can. That's something we should all try to do. And now I would like you to join me in singing a hymn that remained a favorite of the professor's from early childhood to the end of his days.
So it was definitely the hand. I think
perhaps
the hand. Blended
Super Mario Nation is what we're looking for in terms of the decision. Jared, what about your favorite moment?
I would have to say my favorite moments was probably the bit where Father Stanley shrinks the ambassador down, and also the chase as well. Because I thought that was pretty
which,
funny
which you could, of course, say is something that most politicians should actually experience, being shrunk down to size. So again, a line there which probably
one in particular.
Yeah, okay, exactly. But you know, let's not do Donald Trump's election campaign at present, Pamela. We need to step away from that one at least for a wee while. There's another whole aspect to that, as Hillary Clinton would probably say. Yes, indeed. So characters, we're into characters. What are you going to go for your favorite character, or who are you going to go for your favorite character with maybe some honorable mentions? Anna, is it Sylvia Anderson as Mrs. Appleby? Keith Alexander as Agent Blake? David Healy, of course, another staple of many of the Gerry Anderson series, as the technician Burgossa? Jeremy Wilkin as the bishop? Or indeed Gary Files as Matthew Harding? Or is it Father Stanley Unwin himself, with Unwin Eves, that we'll hear again later, and his way of actually solving the whole challenge, even when he's stopped by the police for speeding?
I think I'm thinking between Father Stanley and Matthew Harding, but I like both. I like both. So I don't know, probably Matthew Harding, because I like how he followed the father along. So probably that, because people tend to choose the father because he's the main character. So I think I'm going to do not a favor, but I'm going to be just that person that chooses the other one.
For the same reason, I'm pretty much going for Mrs. Appleby. I think she just didn't know what was happening, basically, in so many ways. Played, of course, by Sylvia Anderson, who was, of course, married to Gerry Anderson at this stage. They weren't going to get the divorce until they started work on Space 1999. And I think it's about to say that Sylvia was certainly responsible for an awful lot of the characteristics and the human side of things. Anyway, Pamela, your favourite character?
I'm not surprised. I'm gonna go with Anna, and I'm gonna go with Matthew with Gary, because he got in that suitcase. You know, I mean, he trusted. He just basically followed orders to the T with respect. You know,
he had faith, Pamela. He had faith in the Good Shepherd.
He did. He was a good guy, and he did all the work. Actually, you know, he faced all the danger. He did all the work. He's up there in a plane engine. You know, I mean, things could have gone horribly wrong for him several times. But so I'm gonna root for him.
In many ways, you could say he was actually echoing the Twilight Zone episode "Nightmare at 20,000 Feet." Where obviously you've got a gremlin who's actually shutting down the engines on the plane. In this case, it took not just one, but two engines to be shut down before they managed to finally get the Dreisenberg plane to turn back and land at an airport. Not London Airport, of course, because if they'd gone to London Airport, its diplomatic immunity would have solved the problem for them. So, again, nice little line on that. Okay, so this is the time where we need to actually give a score out of 10. Jared, what's your score for this particular episode? The first one in the series, The Secret Service, A Case for the Bishop.
For me, I think I'd have to give this one a 5, personally.
Okay. Pamela?
I'm going with a 7. That's what my inner voice said, 7. I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to go with a 7.
I'm going to go 7.5. We may find out what Jessica thought of it as well in the not-too-distant future. But Anna, what's your line, given this is your first ever Residence Rewind and your first experience to the world of Super Mario Nation and Gerry Anderson?
Well, taking all of this into account, and also, what I have read about it, I'm just going to give it an 8 and hope for the best along the way.
Interesting. Well, again, in the same way as some people watch the Secret Service and they think, what? We've decided to actually resume part two next week for the next Residence Rewind, in which 240 hours is the actual classic number, after which the whole thing explodes. So if you want explosions of Gerry Anderson, you will see a desalination plant, several effectively, blown up in the latest episode. And if you thought Matthew was having difficulty in this particular episode, you should see the stresses and strains he actually has in the next episode. It's no surprise that they're looking for a miracle to actually help them through on that basis. For the moment, though, to Anna Corkadell, and, of course, to Jerry Palmer and to Pamela Suman. Pamela, any more new music we can look forward to hearing from you in the near future?
Yeah, I'm actually, aside from trying to get my daughter into college, I'm putting together my next album and frantically piecing bits and pieces of this conceptual album together. So we've actually got a couple songs coming out. My Father's Girl, which we sort of previewed. We're doing a video for A Swan Dive, which is going to be quite beautiful with a young dancer. We are also, there are two songs, Blue Venetian Eyes and Brave, that are sort of cooking in a laboratory right now.
Will there be any a cappella singing with a choral choir in there?
You know, I've been so inspired that it's going to work its way in somewhere, Alex. I can feel it sort of germinating and happening and marinating, and God only knows how it's going to come out. But I'm sure you'll be hearing something ridiculous in the not too distant future.
It's the way forward. And hopefully New York Real Talk will also resume in the not too distant future as well, no doubt.
Yes, another as soon series. As we get our early decision application in, I promise you we will start again.
To Pamela Suman, musician extraordinaire, and to Anna and Jared, huge thanks. And before we actually go back to the Secret Service with some unwin ease, let's say those immortal words, keep on resonating.
Matthew, according to my calculations, you should now be over Oxford.
You're exactly right, Father. How about you? Are you on schedule?
Yes, Matthew, I'm bang on schedule. Matthew, I'm afraid I may be slightly delayed.
Did you realise, sir, that you were exceeding the speed limit?
I'm afraid I didn't, officer.
Well, you will be reported for the question to be considered of prosecuting you for exceeding the speed limit.
Quite so.
You're not obliged to say anything unless you wish to do so, but what you say may be put into writing and used in evidence.
Ah, yes. Write your scribbly in your bookery. All uttery words, speed of your pen slowed, must deceive my eyeballed.
I didn't quite catch that, sir.
Ah, Partlow, I'll explain to you. Now, Matthew, my gardener, is deep joy with green fingers in the garbage, you understand.
I see.
Yes. Well, now, we've got this urgent mission for the bishop. And you understand for the bishop of that?
Right.
You do? Right. Well, unfortunately, Matthew is trapped in the engines all rotating most.
Rotating most?
Yes, that's the rotating engine bold. You spell it E-I-N-G-H-E-N-G-Bold. Right. Now, this does a... N-G-Bold.
N-G-Bold.
Correct.
Right.
Now, this is a cause and a vibrale in his eardrums. It might crash you for lollipop. We must get there before it's too late. It's a matter of life and death.
A matter of life and death, you say, sir?
Absolutely.
And your destination, sir?
Oakington Airfield, officer.
But that's been closed to air traffic for 4 years, sir.
Nevertheless, that's where I'm going.
Matthew, did you hear all that?
Yes, I certainly did, Father. How far behind schedule are you?
Well, with a bit of luck, I should still make it, particularly with a police escort. You should now be approaching Oakington.
Right again, Father. We're right over Oakington.
Right, Matthew. Now you know what to do.
Flight Alpha X-ray 140 to London Tower. Failure on the inner port engine. Returning to London.
Roger, Alpha X-ray 140. turning back. What's happening?
I will find out, Your Excellency.
Thank you.
Do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-